I'm Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing a wide range of research projects in which our academics are currently involved. With me in the studio is Dr. Dunja Baldacchino, who is a senior lecturer at the Nursing Division of the Institute of Healthcare here at the University. And she's also joined by Mrs. Anna Cini, who is also from nursing, and Mrs. Josephine Attard from the Midwifery Division of the IHC. Mrs. Attard is at present following her PhD studies at the Universities of Glamorgan and the University of Malta. They will be talking to us about the World Health Organization's invitation to them to conduct a cross-cultural study to investigate the relevance of spirituality in health and its contribution to illness. Welcome to you all. How did this particular invitation come about?
Yes, it's very interesting that a year ago we had the third international conference on spirituality, the human dimension in care in Malta. And this was organized by the nursing department, and we had international people coming to the conference, and we had Mrs. Christina Berg from University of Diakonova Oslo in Norway, and she presented a poster, and she invited us in the name of the WHO, because we are doing now the comparative study between Malta and Norway under the supervision of Professor Mary Kalfos, who was one of a member of the working group who worked on this tool, on this new tool. So it is interesting also that the definition of health of the WHO is a state of complete physical, mental and social well-being, not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Okay, we agree with that, but now that we have researched a lot on spirituality, and we saw how much spirituality could contribute towards quality of life of patients and in crisis situation, this definition has been criticized heavily. And so the WHO has agreed, you know, to test the quality of life, even questionnaire, because not even the quality of life questionnaire, it didn't contain the spiritual dimension in it. So a working group was called, and one of them was Professor Mary Kalfos from Norway, who worked on the 32 questions, which is part of the questionnaire, of the whole questionnaire of WHO on quality of life, which deals with spirituality, religiosity and personal beliefs. And so we are now having such a study in Malta, and we started that because there's a whole process which is according to the protocol of WHO. I mean, we have a set of standards, you know, to go by it and follow it. So we are asked to translate the tool, which we did already by means of a linguistic panel, and we need to test the contents of the tool, and there's a whole process for it. And therefore, we have both quantitative and qualitative designs to go about this research. But it is very important, first of all, to understand the issue of spirituality.
In fact, I was going to say, perhaps at the stage, before sort of going into the nitty-gritty of the project itself, the survey, perhaps we could sort of initially outline what is meant by spirituality in this context.
The term spirituality is frequently used synonymously with religiosity. It is complex to define, and it's a complex phenomenon, and difficult also to simplify. That's why sometimes it creates ambiguity, if not confusion. But if we think of the human being, when even in respect to nursing, midwifery, healthcare, spirituality integrates the wholeness of the human being. Psychosocial dimensions of individuals, which could include or exclude even the religious dimension according to the individual's belief. So it's not only spirituality, is caters with the wholeness of the individual, whether they believe in a religion or not. Spirituality, authors define it that it comes into play in terms of crisis. And we have to think, therefore, who in during his lifespan, his life, hasn't come across crisis. We coming from the health sector, mm-hmm. being nurses, being midwives, it could be any other health professional. Individuals come across crisis. And when this happens, okay, so if we look at the lifespan continuum, you start off with being born, right? So birth could be the initial stage of crisis. And this goes on and on until, I mean, we are here on Earth. We might get sick. We might have a minor operation. This can develop into a more serious, if not terminal, illness. And therefore, individuals, people, are all the time coming up, you know, how important it is. We've been doing it for a long time. Spirituality has existed, but it nowadays it's been studied and researched for a long time. So what does it mean? Spirituality is a personal search for meaning and purpose in life, which may or may not be related to religion. It entails a connection with a self-chosen or a religious belief, value, and practices that give meaning to life. Why do people do this? To achieve meaning in life and an optimum being, being optimum being. The connection, when you connect in these times of crisis, brings faith, hope, peace, and empowerment. The results, I mean, everybody can remember a situation when they were really in a crisis. The results are usually joy, forgiveness sometimes of oneself or others, an awareness and acceptance of hardship, even sometimes mortality. And the individual will end up with a heightened sense of physical and emotional well-being, ability to transcend beyond the infirmities of existence. In practical terms, then, you find healthcare individuals taking care of these. We see that the nurses, midwives, healthcare professionals, therefore the role would be to help them achieve this. Some examples of this is creating a relationship with the patient, connecting, helping him connect by showing kindness, respect, even by just being there. Sometimes, if the patient requests, also praying together. And this happens all the time. So this is why it's so important that such definitions and such research are done, because it is such a major important aspect within the care of the individual.
Well, certainly, looking at it like that, one can understand that it is a very important component of life in general, and obviously life under crisis. Mrs. Cheney, how have you gone about this survey, really? How is it going to be achieved?
As Dunja said before, there will be a quantitative aspect to it, and I will be responsible for a part of the qualitative aspect of it. Because one might ask, what is spirituality? What is quality of life? What is health? It is very subjective to the individual. So therefore, we are going to look in depth and try to gather information from various focus groups. And these various focus groups will include people who are healthy, depending on what you understand by healthy, but also individuals who are ill and who are aware of their diagnosis. We will have different focus groups, people suffering from heart disease, institutionalized people, people who have lower limb amputations, or different kind individuals, and also healthy people. The quantitative, we will include most of the students at the Institute of Healthcare, and also nurses working at the local state hospital. In these focus groups, we will also be testing the questionnaire that is set by the World Health Organization. And we will be asking the questions in the questionnaire. People will be asked to give their consent to be audio taped. And then we will have to translate, because the individuals taking part in the focus groups will be given the option to speak in Maltese or English, however they feel comfortable. Then from the data that is collected, there will be an in-depth analysis, content analysis, and see what the individual understands by spirituality and how spirituality affects their quality of life.
With the qualitative data, of course, you'll have questions and different answers, open-ended yes. questions. It must be a bit of a nightmare to actually analyze that kind of qualitative data, especially in a very, I would imagine that some of the focus groups would actually be quite intense, really, because the subject is quite a tough subject to, for many people to deal with, I would imagine.
In fact, the work will be shared.
Yes, we have a whole team for that. In fact, it is the nursing department has invited also students, mature students, on doing their diploma to degree BSc nursing course to participate in this universal research, which to which they are so much, you know, enthusiastic about it. Because they feel they are participating in this process to modify the definition, because they know that we have been teaching about this World Health Organization definition of health. And so I'm proud to say that there was a lot of interest from students, and these are the students who are participating. For example, we have Cassandra Sturgeon, Marika Falzon, Clifford Joe De Battista, Aaron Tonna, Kenneth Grima, Neville Ray De Celis, Tracy Baldacchino, Rodian Mifsud, Josette Borch. And all these are in the process now of submitting their research proposal, also their academic research proposal, because the main research proposals has been submitted by me, you know, and I'm passing through the process of getting institutional permissions from chairpersons of medical and surgical, you know, services, and there are several, because there's quite a long list of these consultants, because we have a lot of, even we are dealing with the quantitative part, we are using the students, so the registrar has given us permission, and even we have all those groups, we have about 12 groups, 12 focus groups, and therefore we need permissions from the ones who are responsible for those kind of patients and healthy people.
Before moving on then, Dr. Baldacchino, to the quantitative survey, I'd just like to remind listeners that this is Research Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri, and I'm talking to Dr. Dunja Baldacchino, Mrs. Josephine Attard, and Mrs. Anna Cini, all from the Institute of Healthcare here at the University. You were going to tell us about the survey itself.
Yes. So first of all, there's a whole process, the research process, which is very, very important to go through it, because otherwise it won't be an empirical study. We need a scientific study, and we need also to pay attention, you know, to try to minimize bias as much as possible. The objective part, the quantitative part, we are to test the questionnaire itself. First of all, we have been invited by the WHO to translate it into Maltese, which we are very proud of it, to have a Maltese version of the WHO questionnaire. So there's a whole process for that, and we have already done that. And now we have, for example, forward translation, but then there will be another person who translates it back. So we have forward translation and back translation. So we have three versions, the original, the translated, the Maltese one, and then we have the back translation. Now all these three will be given to students at the University of Malta, mostly at the IHC, the nursing part, and they will be filling them in, the quantitative part, and after two weeks or 3 weeks, we give them back the, for example, so we'll start with the original English, we give them to the group, then after 2 weeks, we give them again the questionnaire, and that will be test three test. Then wait for another 2 weeks, and then we give them the Maltese. So we have to go to the students six times. Yes,
gosh, that's quite a job.
Then following that data collection, we compute it, you know, and we analyze it statistically to make sure that the Maltese version is a true copy of the English version.
To make sure that statistically they come up with more or less the same results.
Similar results, mm-hmm. Yes. And so we need to compare that, and we need to, there are several statistics, you know, that we need to look at. We look at the reliability coefficient to monitor the stability of the questionnaire to make sure that there aren't so much changes in the responses between time one and time two. And there are various other statistical analysis, you know, and even we are testing for the internal consistency, because there are the factors of this questionnaire. It contains 8 factors, and it deals with connection with a spiritual being, as Josephine has explained about the spiritual being. It could be a higher power, you know, religious power. It could be God, or it could be for the ones, the atheists, or it could be nature, for example. And meaning in life, appreciation of nature, art, and music, coherence between beliefs and behavior, inner spiritual strength, inner peace, hope, optimism, seeing the positive side of the situation, and religious faith, which is part of spirituality. For the believers, religiosity is part of spirituality.
And this questionnaire that you've tested with your students,
yes,
at the IHC,
we will
then
be testing
will be testing.
Yes.
This then is going to go out to who?
Yes. So we are, because we are, this study is a comparative study with the Econova University, we are having a cross-cultural comparison. And so we are checking whether there is mostly the qualitative part, but we are checking and comparing our findings, and we have even the same protocol of how to analyze the data, the qualitative data, because we are using Bernard's framework. And so, under the supervision of Professor Mary Kalfos, who will be coming even to Malta as a visiting lecturer, and she will be presenting a paper at the local conference that we are organizing in May. And so these results will give us a comparison between two different cultures, which Malta is more oriented, you know, towards religiosity, the religiosity part, but Norway is highly secularized society. And so then we'll be disseminating these findings by publishing on international journals, and hopefully we try to produce evidence that spirituality should be introduced in the definition of health, and even it should be part, hopefully, of the quality of life. Because as Josephine has talked about it, I mean, it is experience which teaches us Shiaf me Majarab, you know, the Maltese. So even in research has shown that individuals, while they are under crisis, they feel so much helpless that they go for an external power to empower themselves. And very often that external power would be the family and even God. They turn to God in their illness, in their crisis situation. They couldn't cope on their own.
Looking for something beyond themselves. And you were mentioning the conference that's coming up. You've been able to have interim meetings to discuss your findings. Is that what the aim of this conference is?
No, it isn't. We are celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Institute of Healthcare, and so we are organizing this conference separately. We won't be completing this questionnaire by then, this study by then, because we are still in the process of submitting our research proposal to the Research Ethics Committee, which it, I'm afraid to say, it takes quite long. But, however, the students, we are preparing ourselves to time this research in accordance with the time schedule of the students also, because the students will have to complete their research in a stipulated time. But we have timed it well, you know, to allow students to participate in it and be proud that they are contributing towards this research.
It is worth also mentioning that each student will have individual super academic supervisors.
Yes.
So it won't be us supervising, but they will have supervisors, academic supervisors from the Institute of Healthcare.
Yes.
But perhaps it's worth mentioning how most students or participants in the spirituality conference that we held October 2007, how participants came up with how they expressed their own spirituality. And people who attended that conference expressed that it was a conference with a difference. And we had students, they showed their talents. It was in a way how they expressed their spirituality. And we realized what talents there were amongst students.
Yes, I remember. Yes. I was amazed that you had singing.
Choir, even drama instead of presenting just papers, you know, in concurrent sessions. We had students presenting their drama, you know,
their
life experiences and their experiences on the wards. So they identified mistakes and even positive care on real patients, and they dramatized such a case.
Because these students would be having clinical sort of sessions almost from the beginning.
Second semester. Yes, and because they are so much inexperienced, you know, they could observe the mistakes that we do on the ward with patient care. And so they dramatized that, and the whole conference, we came to, you know, on this radio also to explain about the conference.
It's an opportunity to reflect on our own behaviors.
Yes.
Sometimes we do ritually, routinely, we don't think about them.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sometimes so it takes a new pair of eyes to show you what's going on.
Yes, and following that conference, you know, the definition of spirituality has broadened a lot, and it has interested so many students, you know, to come on this research and do, you know, be involved in this data collection, because we are also collecting data from staff, because nowadays spirituality at the workplace, it's the research is on the increase, because research is saying now, which it is explaining the importance of community. So there are patients, for example, patient satisfaction might demand about on the community, on the collegial relationship between the staff. So that particular unit, which has the staff performing well, you know, having a peaceful environment, the patients became more interested in their care, and even they were more satisfied with their care. So it is on the increase, and we have staff from psychiatry, from the medical, from the surgical, and even I've been also asked to do on the older care of the older person. So we have permission also from there.
You've been working with colleagues, I presume, in Norway. How has that worked out?
Yes, it has worked very nicely, because internationally, nowadays, I mean, we have been attending so many conferences, international conferences, that there is a network of researchers and based on collegial, you know, relationship, if, for example, I write a paper on to be published, for example, I might send it to one of these experts, you know, to give me feedback. And we refer to each other. For example, I have been at the University of Glamorgan. Joseph, mm-hmm. you can talk about it, about your experience.
I mean, the network works beautifully in the sense that you get to know the experts who are working in the field. I mean, from the point of view of myself being in the initial stages of a PhD, this is much, much valuable because we can talk about, you know, for example, we discuss the research process and they give you ideas. And once you go to one of the conferences or to meet these people, you make it a point that you want to keep on going mm-hmm. because it's the only way of getting to know whether you're on the right track, and also you are there for suggestions and which they help. There is now a conference in Norway. There is also on spirituality. There is another one in Ireland, and next month. It's amazing because looking around, for example, even in the United States, you find out that the issue of spirituality. I have discovered that there is also an institute for spirituality there mm-hmm. and that they're working on, for example, in my case, my research is competencies. I mean, setting down competencies because now all education is based on having these competencies, which you can measure whether they are up to standard or not to deliver, I mean, in this case, spirituality. And they are actually working on these.
Ultimately, if the survey is going to affect perhaps a redefinition by WHO of health, so it could have a real impact.
Yes. Uh-huh. So this is why WHO is inviting the countries, you know, to research this and to test this questionnaire by quantitative and qualitative means, so that cross-culturally we get to identify whether the themes are comparable with each other, whether the definitions of spirituality include, for example, personal beliefs, because there is even religiosity in it, and even meaning and appreciation of nature and so on. So whether spirituality contributes to the quality of life of individuals. And let's see what this research is finding. So this research and being cross-cultural, for example, we have in this conference, we have persons coming from Australia presenting a paper. And this professor, Violetta, she's interested in conducting such a research in Australia. So it will be three countries, hopefully. Ultimately, the aim is to modify the definition of health. But that only is only founded on research.
Thank you very, very much, Dr. Bardacchino, Ms. Attard, Ms. Cini, for coming to talk to us today about this wonderful opportunity to uh-huh. really have an influence on the definition, the WHO definition yes. of health. Thank you.
Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.